Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So we had our first presidential debate last night between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Round two will be coming up in, I guess, a few weeks. Joining me in studio to talk about it is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson, news director for American Family.
Morning, everyone.
News and OneNewsNow.com. And Ray Pritchard's co-hosting with us today.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ray.
So I feel a little like Larry King here. You know, Larry King used to have seven guests on at one time. They almost couldn't get them on the television screen. In fact, you have a small screen, you couldn't see any of the people talking, except maybe Larry King. And no, I'm not wearing suspenders. A lot to talk about today on the program. It's a big night. Fred, do you know the ratings yet for the viewing audience? Was it as big as they anticipated?
They kept talking about 100 million people watching. I'm not sure they reached that level, but there's no question in reading some of the overnight results, they had reaction from all over the world. They had people all over the world watching this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading some of the Canadian newspapers this morning. They had five or six stories on the debate here in the United States. That's how big this is.
This is as big as Aloha from Hawaii.
Yeah, maybe a little bigger.
Elvis.
Bigger?
Huh?
Elvis.
Bigger than Elvis?
Bigger than Elvis.
Ray, did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. And I'm just looking here. There's an article that compares it to the Super Bowl. So it didn't get ratings as big as the Super Bowl, but it was up there pretty high last night. So, yeah, what an evening.
What did you think, Ray?
You mean about the whole?
Yeah, just give me your impressions. But
you know, last night, I thought it was like a Texas death match in professional wrestling, you know. And I thought Trump did really good in the early minutes, and I thought Hillary came on. And so both of them were still standing at the end. And this morning I wake up and I see that Trump won most of all the online polls except the one from CNN. So I guess you saw what you wanted to see last night. I wonder, this is a question for the other guys, I wonder how many minds were changed last night because of the debate.
Ed?
Well, I don't know how many minds were changed. I tend to doubt not too many. I kind of have a good news, bad news thing for each one. Should we get into that in detail?
I think you should share at this point.
Well,
Ed,
I tell you, for Hillary Clinton, let me start with her. The good news was I think she smashed, for now, the rumors that she was dangerously sick, because she looked fine last night. She looked cheerful. She was poised, I thought. She came across as very knowledgeable. She is a very smart and crafty debater. Of course, some of that may have to do with her staff. And she got under Trump's skin, I think, on several occasions. And she stayed on the offensive. We can talk about that in a little bit. Bad news for her, I don't think there was any real bad news. She did seem a little bit smarmy, you know, once or twice. For women, unfortunately, that, I think, works against them. And she made a lot of promises that I think for some voters they're going to think those are empty. The good news for Trump, he appeared presidential just being on the stage for the event. I don't think he committed any serious mistakes.
Great blue tie.
Great blue tie. He didn't have a Gary Johnson moment where he said, Aleppo, what's that? You know, so that was good. That won't get repeated over and over again. And I think in the good news column, you know, strangely, he got a brutal lesson on why it is important to be really prepared for a presidential debate. Hillary Clinton went through a mock debate yesterday morning. That's just hours before before the regular debate. My understanding is Trump didn't do a whole lot of, you know, preparation, unless that was just a strategy to publicly say that. So I think that brutal lesson is going to help him in debates two and three. Bad news, He appeared angry and blustery at times, which is just him, you know. So if you already know that about him, maybe that doesn't hurt you. I thought he interrupted her way too much. And
you thought Trump interrupted her way
yes,
too much?
Yes, and stuff we'll talk about here on the program. He failed to land blows when he had the opportunity to counterpunch. So that's some of
my.
So
you think
initial,
she won overall?
I think she clearly.
You're a
won.
Judge.
Yeah, she
not
clearly,
not judging on what they believe and their policies.
Right.
You're talking about style and tactics.
Yes,
and
I think she clearly won. I don't think necessarily Trump was hurt by
right.
that. You know, we remember in 2012, Mitt Romney cleaned President Obama's clock. In the first debate.
Right. They were worried about Obama.
They were worried about him. He went on in the second and third debate to do very, very well.
Right.
And so this is not a death blow
right.
by any
two
means.
Two more debates.
Well, I think I agree with Ed to a point that Hillary Clinton came off looking well last night. But I think it was a two-on-one match. I think it was Hillary Clinton and the moderator Lester Holt against Donald Trump.
Yes.
I thought with all the kind of warnings that were out there before the debate that we sure hope we don't see another Candy Crowley incident
right.
as we did with Mitt Romney. Well, we saw it in spades last
yes.
night. I think Lester Holt was guilty of two types of sin, moderator sins, commission and omission. On the omission front, there was no mention of Benghazi.
Right.
Not a mention, not a question to Hillary Clinton about Benghazi. I mean, we've had hearings about Benghazi. There were no questions to Hillary Clinton on the email scandal.
Right.
I mean, Donald Trump had to try to insert that with regards to another question. He had to insert that in
right.
there. And there were no questions about the controversy around the pay-to-play Clinton Foundation. Not one question on either of those three huge issues. Moderator, silent
right.
on those. Instead, Lester Holt decided to bring up, well, let's bring up the birther issue.
Yes.
Let's bring up the birther issue.
So crazy, the liberal media can't stop talking about it.
That's right. I mean, whose radar is that on today, the birther
right.
issue? Come
mm-hmm.
on. And you know, he was quick to so-called fact-check Donald Trump on the issue of the stop and search.
Oh, stop and frisk, yeah.
Stop and frisk. And he
interrupting
was
Trump.
Interrupting Trump again and again. But he did not fact check Hillary Clinton on the trade deal when Donald Trump says you thought it was the gold standard. That phrase, gold standard, used by Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton denied that.
Talking about the Trans-Pacific
trade deal. Lester Holt should have said, wait a minute. Madam Secretary, you did say this,
right.
but he chose not to fact check Hillary Clinton. So my point is, it was Donald Trump facing two people last night.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that.
Ray, did you get a sense of who Holt might vote for?
Oh, there's no question, right? They say he's a, quote, registered Republican, but everything Fred said is exactly right, that Lester Holt, every time he had a chance to intervene against Donald Trump or with Trump, he took that chance. And every time he could have intervened and said something to fact check Hillary Clinton, he didn't. And you know, Fred, I think in some ways more telling is on the omission side. The fact that he didn't bring up Benghazi, he didn't bring up the email controversy. It seems to me that those things are deliberate. Here's a choice being made by the moderator. So was he even-handed last night? In no way. He clearly leaned toward Hillary Clinton. And you got to say on the other side of it, Trump did take the bait. She got under his skin, and he took that long thing about the birther issue. I didn't think his answer on that was particularly helpful. She got to him a number of times and put him on the defensive when he should have been taking the battle to Hillary more directly.
And I agree with you guys. And I generally lean towards giving moderators some slack. Like, I thought Trump was wrong in going after Megyn Kelly during the primary season. You know, when I watched that debate, I thought, I don't think she, you know, did a bad job. I thought she did a good job. She was tough on Trump, and he didn't like that. So I generally lean towards giving them some slack. But I thought Lester Holt last night was terrible. Like you guys have said, he was clearly antagonistic toward Trump, arguing about questions that nobody really cares about anymore, the birther issue, while leaving out huge, very important issues, as you guys have mentioned. So I think he got a – maybe he didn't get an F, but he got a D-minus in my book in his handling of it.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. We'll let you figure out who's who. I don't let you care. Maybe you don't care. I watched the whole debate, and I thought if it was a race, I thought Trump jumped out. He sprinted out there, man. He got about 100 yards ahead of her, and they were racing around. If they were racing around the track one time, and then by the end of the night, I think she caught him. And I thought it was a draw. You know, overall, maybe she did better at the end, and he did better at the beginning. I did think the her strongest moment was when she. She said, why didn't he release his tax returns? And then she sort of played a prosecuting attorney right there. Maybe he did this, and maybe he did this, and maybe he doesn't want you to know. And maybe he, you know, so casting doubts in the minds of people out there on Hillary casting doubts on Trump's honesty and integrity.
And that was a missed opportunity. Now, he did have a good counterpunch on the email scandal. That's how I think it was originally brought up when she was talking about his tax returns.
Oh, I'll release
he
my.
He said, "I'll release my tax returns when you
have that one.
When you release,
all right, we have that, Ed.
Okay,
let's play the soundbite from that.
I will say this: we have a situation in this country that has to be taken care of. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes." When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted, as soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns. And that's against my lawyers. They say, don't do it. I will tell you this. No, in fact, watching shows, reading the papers, almost every lawyer says, you don't release your returns until the audit's complete. When the audit's complete, I'll do it. But I would go against them if she releases her
emails. So it's negotiable?
It's not negotiable. No, let her release the email. Why did she delete 33,000?
Well, I'll let her ask that, but let me just admonish the audience one more time. There was an agreement. We did ask you to be silent, so it would be helpful for us. Secretary Clinton.
You know, I made a mistake using a private email.
That's for sure.
And if I had to do it over again, I would obviously do it differently. But I'm not going to make any excuses. It was a mistake, and I take responsibility for that.
Mr. Trump?
That was more than a mistake. That was done purposely, okay? That was not a mistake. That was done purposely. When you have your staff taking the Fifth Amendment, taking the Fifth so they're not prosecuted, when you have the man that set up the illegal server taking the Fifth, I think it's disgraceful. And believe me, this country thinks it's disgraceful. It really thinks it's disgraceful also. As far as my tax returns.
Okay. I don't think she said anything more about it, did she?
She did not.
No, that was it. That was a good exchange in terms of Trump. I agree with you, Tim. I think she planted doubts about why he didn't release his tax returns. Maybe he hasn't paid any taxes. And then he said, well, that makes me smart. I don't think that's a good thing to
say.
A good answer, because everyone else in the audience or watching is going, well, I have to pay taxes. Does that make me stupid? Because I'm paying taxes and you get away with not. Maybe he hasn't made any charitable donations. And so he repeated that, you know, his answer. One of the things he could have said, and I don't recall him ever mentioning the Clinton Foundation. I mean, he should have bird dogged her on this email scandal, which you talked about. Tim, in terms of all the, you know, the illegalities that went on, you know, what the FBI director said. But he should have also hit her continuously.
He will next time.
On the Clinton Foundation.
He will next time. There, as you said, there are two more debates. I think Trump will learn from this and hit her on some big points next time, like the ones you're talking about, which are where she's very vulnerable. The other thing was, in Trump's defense, this was the first time he had had a one-on-one debate.
Yes.
And she's had many of them with Bernie Sanders.
15.
Yeah. He's been on the stage with multiple people all the time. Secondly, this was not a rally. Okay, he's used to getting up there and speaking at a rally where everybody says, you know, go get him, Donald.
Yeah.
You know,
he feeds off that.
It feeds off the energy, and so he didn't have that. You know, he didn't have that going for him. He was on a, you know, on a stage where everybody's supposed to be quiet, and of course that didn't work all the time. But so he was in a different. Now he's very comfortable and familiar with TV, obviously. But he was not in a rally situation. So I think he'll learn and benefit from having had the experience last night. Whether the second debate and the third debate will be watched by as many people, I don't know. But I'll be interested to see the polls because I think I don't think anybody's minds were changed last night. I don't know how many undecideds there are out there, but I just don't think a lot of people's minds were changed. If they were for Hillary Clinton, they're still for Hillary Clinton. If they were for Donald Trump, they were for Donald Trump. And she's got some the vulnerabilities y'all mentioned about the Clinton Foundation, the pay-per-play, and then I'm just shocked that Trump, Ray, didn't say, you know what the FBI director James Comey said about you? I mean, I'm just shocked that did. I would have answered that if Lester Holt had asked me, what's 2 + 2, Mr. Trump? I would have said, you know what the FBI said about
– That's right.
About, I would have forced that in there some way or another. But also, she – you know, you might say, well, you maybe expect Trump to take the low road and start talking about, you know, go start slinging mud over there. I thought, for the most part, I'm trying to think back through the debate, both of them withheld really the mud slinging until we got to the very end and time was almost out. And she went after him on the things he had said about women over his career, threw four or five things out there, not denying that he has said those things. He says, then in typical Trump style, he says, I think we all agree that Rosie O'Donnell deserved what I said about. Don't we all agree here? Everybody raise their hand. See, it's unanimous. Everybody agrees. So, Ray, don't you think that was kind of the mudslinging moment for her was throwing those things at Trump? And then he didn't have a whole lot of time to come back on that. Go ahead.
Well, it was as if she was near the end of the debate, and her prep team had told her, now get this stuff in here about Trump and women.
Right.
Because whatever question was asked, it really wasn't on that topic.
No, she forced that.
She forced that, and you could just see her ticking it off. One, two, three, getting all those different quotes. And then the quote from what he said about that whoever won the Miss Universe thing, and she's going to be voting, and so on. And so Trump comes back with the Rosie O'Donnell crack. That was a low way to end the debate. But I kind of think the way it ended is where it's going to begin. If we thought last night was hot and heavy, I think the next debate is going to be take the gloves off, here we go.
And Trump had said that before last night's debate, that he would be courteous if she was courteous. And I agree with you, Ray, that she held on to that one right to the end. But he did say something in there. It was very interesting. Remember, in response to her charges about what his reference is to women, he said, you know, I could say something right now, but I'm going to refrain from saying something. Now, people, I thought about that for a moment. But afterwards, in the scrums afterwards, in the so-called spin room, he kind of let out what he was thinking about saying. And he said, well, because Chelsea was there,
right,
the daughter, and Bill, I refrained from saying what I was going to say. And most people would understand what he was thinking about saying was, well, you want to talk about how men treat women? He was probably thinking about, how about your husband, Hillary, how Bill treated women?
Well, more than that, he could have said, you are an enabler
right.
for a sexual misogynist.
Exactly.
And don't talk to me about a few things I've said about women over the years. When your whole life has been spent smearing women, your husband has been having multiple affairs with. Now, what's the next question?
Yeah.
I mean, he could have said that. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, although I lean towards saying that because there's nothing unfactual about that. And if he would have said it in a way that, hey, you're attacking me. Mm. Don't attack me with that stuff when look at your life's history here.
I think he should have done exactly what you guys are saying. Now, he could have done it in a way that looked like he's trying to take the high road.
He could have said, now listen, she just brought this stuff up. We've had a pretty good debate here, but now she's name calling and trying to sling mud over here.
Chelsea's going to be at all the debates. So that's the problem for
Trump. Well, Chelsea's a woman now.
Yeah, she's a child, a grown woman.
And she knows what her dad's done.
Right.
So
I think that would have been a perfect opportunity not only for him to say what you guys just said. Listen, you want to talk about
real?
I might have gotten a little spitting contest with Rosie O'Donnell, but you have gone after women who claimed they were raped by your husband, and he should have taken that. I can't believe he didn't use this numerous times. Hillary, let's talk about your basket of deplorables comment.
Right.
Let's talk about ugly things that have been said. Listen, it's campaign time. I understand that. But don't go there, Hillary. Next debate, you want to bring it up, we're going to get into a real fist fight here.
Well, and another element he could have brought out along the lines of this discussion. Wait a minute, Hillary. Is anybody from Saudi Arabia, that country that treats women like dirt, giving money to the Clinton Foundation?
Perfect.
That's untypical of Trump to miss opportunities.
I don't think he'll make the mistake second time around.
He missed some opportunities that Trump typically would have taken.
That would have been that could have got the discussion about the Clinton Foundation.
I wonder. And there are two more debates, so a lot of this stuff's going to come out that we've been talking about. He'll learn, Donald Trump will, from his debate experience last night. Ray, I wonder if I'm assuming his team that were coaching him and prepping him for the debate told him, don't come unhinged.
Right.
Don't go off on rants. Just have a calm demeanor, as calm as you can. So that's the approach we want to take. I'm wondering if that raised that in his mind when the natural inclination for Trump would have been to do some of the things we've just mentioned now, but then he's going, well, they told me not to come unglued, and I'm afraid this might sound like I'm just wondering if that's rolling through his head while he's trying to articulate an answer. What do you think?
I think there's no doubt that they told him exactly what you said. You can't go crazy, Donald.
Right. It'll be over.
It'll be over. You can't risk even one slip of the tongue. So I wonder if it's like in football terms where when you start a football game, you just play a basic defense to force the other team to show their hand. Maybe last night was the learning experience for Trump so that she would put her game plan out there, and he's going to come back. I think we're all agreeing he's going to come back a lot more aggressive next time around.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're almost here on the break, but after the break, I want to talk about the debate trick that Hillary used, and smart debaters do this, and it's all about being on the offensive, putting your, as Ray said, putting your opponent on the defensive, and so I'll talk about that when we come back.
All right, when we get back, we'll continue to talk, maybe play a couple more clips about the debate last night. What was lost in the news yesterday because of the debate last night was the fact that Donald Trump has pulled ahead of Hillary Clinton in the Electoral College map, according to some surveys. That's huge. I didn't say it like Donald Trump, but that's big news. Now, what does that mean today, tomorrow? I don't know, but it's got Democrats nervous. We'll be back after this break.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Steve Faisel and Dr. Carol Swain, co-authors of Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds.
Progressives in the Democratic Party have a history of embracing policies that disempower and marginalize ethnic minorities and non-elites.
And Dr. Alex McFarland will join us to discuss news headlines of the day. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit, is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. I have 5 takeaways from last night's presidential debate. First, somebody forgot to tell the moderator he was supposed to moderate and not debate Donald Trump. Lester Holt was clearly in the tank for Hillary Clinton. Then again, what did we expect from somebody at NBC? Nobody but Clinton. Second, if Trump's record on women is fair game, so is hers. She needs to be called out for taking money from countries that treat women as second-class citizens. Third, Trump needs to let go of the birther stuff and either release his tax returns or come up with a better excuse why he won't. Fourth, no clear winner last night, folks, but Trump is no loser. In spite of the mainstream media's narrative, the general public tuned in to discover Trump does not wear bedsheets or burn crosses. And finally, I think there is bipartisan agreement that Hillary should never do another shoulder shimmy on national television. Ever. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, the four of us have been talking for 30 minutes, and Todd Starnes got it all wrapped up in about 60 seconds last night's debate. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson in studio, and then Ray Pritchard's in Dallas. And we're talking about the debate last night and what happened. And I was looking at trying to find out if there's any, you know, who won and who lost. We were all giving our opinions on the good, bad, and the ugly, but this is from the Daily Mail. Says majority of snap polls show Trump won debate by a landslide despite CNN's overwhelming victory for Hillary in biggest official survey. I don't know about this. Can you not manipulate these polls by getting your people to go out there and vote? I don't know. I don't know which polls.
You mean these unscientific polls?
Yeah, just go on the internet,
sure.
Click on
They're
something.
They're worthless. Sure.
They're worthless. Okay.
Well, when you take the CNN poll, CNN, you know, the Clinton News Network, as it's been called.
Right.
So if you're watching their network and they favor Clinton, they favor Obama, then if they're polling their viewers.
Wouldn't it be the same for Fox, though, what you're about to say?
Well, I would say, having watched both networks, Fox makes an attempt, at least, to be somewhat balanced. They'll have the far left on there. They do all the time. CNN doesn't do as much of that, not near as much of that. So I would say the bulk of CNN viewers would be in the Clinton camp already. So it doesn't surprise me when I get that result. I don't know if Fox did a polling last night. There were some outside polls that did show that Trump won.
Well, Ray, were you going to say something before?
Yeah, you know, on that article in the Daily Mail, they pointed out, I mean, they gave the actual results from a huge number of online polls, And Trump did win convincingly. I mean, you're sort of two sides of this. One, as Ed said, you can kind of say it's worthless. Look, he got a Trump 82% in the Drudge Report. I mean, earlier in the evening, it was like 91%. So, okay, that's not really scientific, right? But then when you see Time Magazine, the Time.com poll, and you see even Slate's online poll showed Trump a narrow winner. When you have enough of these online polls, and the majority of them are showing that Trump won, that means something. Maybe the great takeaway is just showing up on the stage with Hillary and being able to give a punch and take a punch for 90 minutes, maybe that was pretty convincing to millions of people.
Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York and Trump confidant and advisor, said, "If I were Donald Trump, I wouldn't participate in another debate unless I was promised that a journalist would act like a journalist and not an incorrect and not an incorrect, ignorant fact checker." End of quote. He's not happy with the way Holt handled the situation last night. Giuliani added, "I did not say what I'm advising. I'm saying what I would do if I were Donald Trump." Hey, we got another clip. This is from the debate last night. Wanted to hear what this is a question to Hillary Clinton about what you would do to get the economy going. And then Donald Trump says something very interesting about the Federal Reserve. And so let's play this and we come back and talk about it.
"I don't think top down works in America. I think building the middle class, investing in the middle class, making college debt free so more young people can get their education, helping people refinance their debt from college at a lower rate. Those are the kinds of things that will really boost the economy. Broad-based, inclusive growth is what we need in America, not more advantages for people at the very top."
Mr. Trump,
typical politician, all talk, no action, sounds good, doesn't work, never going to happen. Our country is suffering because people like Secretary Clinton have made such bad decisions in terms of our jobs and in terms of what's going on. Now, look, we have the worst revival of an economy since the Great Depression. And believe me, we're in a bubble right now. And the only thing that looks good is the stock market. But if you raise interest rates even a little bit, that's going to come crashing down. We are in a big, fat, ugly bubble. And we better be awfully careful. And we have a Fed that's doing political things. This Janet Yellen of the Fed. The Fed is doing political by keeping the interest rates at this level. And believe me, the day Obama goes off and he leaves and he goes out to the golf course for the rest of his life to play golf, when they raise interest rates, you're going to see some very bad things happen because the Fed is not doing their job. The Fed is being more political than Secretary Clinton."
I don't know if the vast viewing audience understands the Federal Reserve and their role in the economy. I would assume probably half of them do. What Donald Trump's talking about right there is extremely serious. And there's two or three things that happened there. I happen to agree with him that, and I have no, Dan Celia believes this, I believe. I think the Federal Reserve is protecting Obama because Yellen, is that Chairman Yellen?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Janet Yellen.
She's an Obama appointee and a liberal, I think. And so they want to protect Obama from what would happen should the interest rates go up and the economy experience some bad things happening, and our $20 trillion debt, which Trump did bring out, what would happen there? You know, you raise the interest rates, you got to service that debt even more. But anyway, the point was that Trump was making that, you know, that the Federal Reserve is protecting Obama. And when he leaves, then they're not going to protect him anymore, and it's going to be a big fat bubble that burst. Now, what I would have questioned, Trump did pretty well there. He covered a lot, but I think we've had 2% growth in the economy for what, a few years now?
Oh, right.
The whole time.
Right. Okay, it's unprecedented in the history of our country. That's what Trump didn't say. That's what I would have said had I been him.
And I don't understand somebody like Hillary Clinton, and this would be as difficult only a Republican, and I've seen it happen in the past, having to answer for the past 4 to 8 years as it is for her, had he framed it right, or had Lester Holt said what I just said, that it's an unprecedented lack of growth in the economy. Her statement there, Hillary Clinton's, begs the question, Ed, or did I ask Ray something? Anyway, Ray, Ed, you can answer, and then Ray, and then it begs the question if she's going to say, well, I'm going to do A, B, and C, and that's really going to get the economy roaring. The natural question is, well, you've been in the administration for 8 years, and your boss hadn't followed your advice to get the economy roaring?
Yeah, and he did score some points with that kind of line of argument. Trump,
but not Lester Holt.
No, Lester Holt. No, he was a disaster. And I thought, I'm using Trump's.
You are using a Trump word.
He was a disaster. Right.
Trump has copyrighted that word, by the way. He gets paid every time somebody uses it. Disaster.
Well, not for me.
Okay.
But, he did use that line of argument, I think, effectively, and he needed to do that every chance he got. There's 3 or 4 lines of arguments he should have been making every time, you know, he got the opportunity. But he has said that. He said, first of all, typical politician, that's a great line. That's
right,
a winning
right,
line.
Right.
Typical politician, all talk. And the proof of that is she's been in the, you know, she's her, between her and her husband and President Obama, they've been in power for a long time. And
she took credit for growth under the Clinton administration,
right.
Under her husband.
And then he did an excellent job coming back at her and saying, yeah, well, your husband signed NAFTA.
Right.
You know, that he needs to hit those things over and over again. And putting out this little scary warning about the Fed. Getting that on the record, I think, was also smart by Trump.
It's exactly what our own Dan Celia has been saying for the last at least couple of years. Dan would probably say even longer than that.
And
that,
the Fed's supposed to be apolitical.
Yeah,
right.
We're in a bubble. And he has said there needs to be a correction. And that correction will come sooner or later. That's going to happen. The other thing to point out, and this is not a political statement, this is just fact. The reality is the inner cities in areas controlled by the Democrats, you've had 8 years,
right.
President Barack Obama, they are still hurting. They're disaster areas, to use that term again. And Trump brought that up last night. Detroit, Chicago.
He said they're living in hell.
That's the expression he used. All right. So you have had Obama administration, of which Hillary Clinton's been part of for the last 8 years. You've had all this time to do whatever you wanted to help those areas, to help that economy, and you haven't. Why should the American people believe you if they elect you and keep you in power with Obama's economic plan? Why do they think it's going to get any better?
Right.
You know, this goes to the bigger point that this is a change election. And Hillary ought to be in the difficult position of how does she stake out a position different from Obama, because she can't dare get too far away from the president because she was his Secretary of State. And if I were Donald Trump in these next two debates, he, as Fred, as you and Ed have said, he brought it home last night, but I think he needs to really hammer it in the next two debates. Hillary, why can we trust you? Why should we even think you're going to be an agent of change when for the last 30 years with you, it's been business as usual?
Well, let me before the break, I mentioned the debate trick. Okay, so let me get back to that, because I think this goes to what you just said, Ray. Now, here's the smart debate trick, okay? You and Hillary Clinton did this well, I thought. You answer the question when you're asked. You try not to appear evasive. You get your talking points out there, but then you assault your opponent with a charge, okay? And what that does is that when Donald Trump now has to answer the question, he has to waste time defending himself against the charge that Hillary makes. So that's why he was on the defensive. He spent way too much time answering her negative attacks. What he's going to do in the second and third debates is that he has got to quickly deal with the charge, you know, give a quick response, and then go after Hillary Clinton. Put her on the defensive. And that is the time to make these kinds of arguments. That's the time to say, listen, you can say whatever you want about me. Here's my little answer to your little negative attack. But I want the American people to hear an answer about why for the last 8 years, blah, blah, blah. And if he can do that and turn the debate into a thing where Hillary has to be on the defensive, I think that's going to stick in people's minds because, Fred, like you said, that is a powerful argument. And Trump has done a masterful job here in the last several weeks appealing to the Black and Hispanic communities mm-hmm. and saying, you live in Detroit, you happy with what has gone on for the last 8 years? All these promises about what she's going to do, where have they been? Where have mm-hmm. they been? If he does that and continues to hammer at that and puts Hillary on the defensive on all these issues, on foreign policy, on the economy, it's going to make for a very long 90 minutes next time.
I think if just stepping back from maybe factoring in the debate last night, I think that Hillary Clinton, and she sort of yelled this last week when she was doing that video conference with the union people in Las Vegas when she got she started raising her voice and shouting at the camera.
Right.
If you're a Democrat, you've got to be thinking, you know, our candidate should be 10 points ahead right now because we're talking Donald Trump here, a right. TV reality show star and somebody who I'm expressing how I would think if I were right. in their shoes and a guy who's said a lot of nutty things over the years, but yet we're not beating him. In fact, he's ahead of us in some of the polls.
Let me ask you this. What do you think happens in the Clinton camp? Now, I have no idea what the polls are going to say this week.
Right.
They get those little quick online polls, which, you know, like Ray said, they may, you know, create an impression. But in terms of real polls going forward this week, what if after this debate, which was, I think, a strong Clinton appearance.
She can't catch him?
What if he gets ahead even more? What if, like in Pennsylvania and Florida and some North Carolina, what kind of panic do you think that creates in the Clinton camp?
Well, I just think there is a political dynamic going on in this country now that supersedes the Clinton performance last night, and that's what you've been seeing. We saw it during the primaries. Look how the turnout in the Republican primaries, how that compared to the turnout in the Democrat primaries.
Right, with the exception of Bernie Sanders.
With the exception of Bernie Sanders. So they had low numbers, the Democrats. Clinton can have great performances, but that doesn't change that political dynamic that's going on in this country right now. This country, which explains why Donald Trump was able to beat all those seasoned politician Republicans. He was able to beat them because this country is fed up. They're fed up with politicians, Republican, Democrat alike, who say we're going to do this and don't do anything. This is the reason for Donald Trump's popularity. And that supersedes whatever happened on that stage last night. I believe you're not going to see, we have seen the trends over the last few weeks since Donald Trump's camp changed leadership there. We have seen a huge change. Colorado turned around. Trump was behind 10 points just 10 days ago. It's turned around now just a 2-point spread. But we're seeing Ohio Trump up by 2 points. We're seeing him gaining in Florida. There is something happening in this country that favors Donald Trump. We want a change. Hillary Clinton last night promised basically to keep the status quo.
Right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Excuse me. With by the way, Donald Trump needed the water last night, didn't he?
He was drinking a lot.
What was up with those sniffles, too?
That was
unusual.
I don't know. The sniffles, I think maybe he had a little cold, but I think somewhere Marco Rubio was laughing his head off.
Right.
As Donald Trump drank water, like, by the gallon.
I kept thinking, you better slow down, but you're going to be the one who has
right,
to go to the restaurant.
Better slow down. But, and Ray Pritchard joining us from Dallas, you're listening to American Family Radio. I cited the Electoral College map earlier as advantage Trump right now. Again, this is a snapshot, but this has been trending for Trump for the last 2 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks. Remember, after the Republican convention, he got a bump. Democrat convention, she got a bump, and she stayed ahead until probably 2 to 3 weeks ago, he started gaining on her. And now I'm looking at the map. Now, this is the prediction. I typed in Electoral College map Trump, and this is what came up. And these are based on polls that have been out in the last few days, and Fred's seen these. But it shows him winning, if the election were today, with 275 Electoral College votes. You need 270. And Clinton with 263. Now, if that were to take place, it would include victories for him in Florida, which if a Republican does not win Florida, the Republican has no chance to win nationally. Florida is just absolutely essential for a Republican. But it shows him winning Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio. And that, especially Ohio and Florida, and then Colorado, it shows him winning in Colorado and Arizona. So this is even with her winning Wisconsin, Minnesota, and they're tied in Minnesota as of last night. So, of course, these are very close races almost everywhere within 2 or 3 points. But I'm just saying, I think conventional wisdom would say that the energy is with the contender or with the challenger. In this case, she represents status quo. He represents a change or the challenger. The energy is with him, not with her. In other words, she may get people who vote Democrat. Let's say she gets 95% of the African-American vote and 60 or 70% of the Hispanic vote, for example. But yet they don't come out in numbers like they did for Obama, for example. And the voting is depressed because there's no energy there. There's no excitement there. That's what I'm talking about. The excitement level, Fred, seems to be right now, at least in his camp.
And that point has been made in just the last few days. And the Democrats are well aware of this. Hillary has not been able to ignite the excitement that Barack Obama did in the African-American community.
Right.
They have not been able to translate all of that very strong support from that community for Barack Obama. The thought was that would just carry over to Hillary.
Right.
It is not happening out there. It's not happening. And I think people underestimate the dynamic going on within the Hispanic community as well. The Hispanic people are very entrepreneurial.
Right.
And when Hillary Clinton starts talking about raising taxes on businesses, when she starts talking about giving students debt-free, we want you to come out debt-free when you're through, people are smart enough, okay, who's going to pay for this?
Right.
People are saying, what's going to happen if Hillary Clinton's elected and you have students not having any student loans when it's all over? Well, the universities are going to latch on to that and raise tuition even more if
right.
the government is going to pay for it. And people are smart enough to say, wait a minute, the government paying for it. Who pays the government? That's me.
Yeah.
So you know, people are figuring this stuff out.
Yeah. You know, talking about Ohio and Florida, two critical battleground states, according to CNN's Jeff Zeleny, Zeleny, on Sunday, he noted that Hillary Clinton has essentially given up on Ohio. Quote, so long, Ohio, this is what he said, it's been 20 days since Hillary Clinton stepped foot into this classic battleground state, and she's not expected to visit it again in the month of September. End of quote. Ray?
What does your map show for Pennsylvania?
Clinton.
Okay, you know, the latest poll, Fred, you can correct me on this, but I think it's getting very, very tight in Pennsylvania. Maybe Clinton was up by one. And I mean, Clinton was up by what, 6, 7, 8 in Pennsylvania?
That's correct.
And now it's tightened down to what, 1?
Yeah.
1%. I mean, if Pennsylvania goes for Trump, it is truly all over. I don't think.
Well, then also last night, Pennsylvania is a huge state, 20 electoral college votes. I mean, that's, but it's been Democratic since 1988. Now, last night I was watching Newt Gingrich on Fox, and he said that Minnesota was tied And he said, if that's any indication, Minnesota should be a solid Democrat state, and Minnesota's tied. So I think if she wins, of course, we got two more debates left, and a lot could happen between now and November the 8th. But she will back into the presidency. Okay. She will win because things are so tight now and the momentum's in his direction. It will have to be somebody maybe who's undecided or maybe even leaning Trump saying to themselves the day of the election, you know what, I'm going to vote for status quo because maybe I consider him a little too edgy or a little too volatile. So I'm gonna vote for her even though I have no excitement about it. Check. That's a hard way to win an election. Usually the person with the excitement, the momentum – carries the day if there's a virtual tie is what I'm saying. So yeah, it shows her winning. It shows this poll I'm looking at, the Electoral College map shows him winning Ohio and her winning Pennsylvania, but still him winning the election because he would be sweeping all the states in all the Southeast. Heartland, I would say. I'm distinguishing the Heartland from the Upper Midwest, this poll is showing that she should win Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and then the left coast out there, California, Oregon, and
let me
Washington.
Ask you guys a question. We all agree that before last night, things were trending toward Trump across the country, slow drift, a drift away from Hillary and toward Donald Trump. Do you guys think she did enough last night to arrest that, or do you think that drift will continue?
I think if you didn't like Hillary before last night, she didn't turn that around.
Endear herself, Fred? She didn't endear herself?
She did not.
To the masses?
Well, when I said that I thought my opinion was that Clinton won the debate, that's just on, you know, that's just technique and
style,
opportunities, missed opportunities. I think Fred's right. I think the sense around this discussion is this is a change election. The same thing happened in 2008. People were tired of war. People, you know, we had that, you know, that economic meltdown, and people, you know, just said, I just want change. I think that's how Barack Obama beat Hillary Clinton, who was the logical one to take the Democratic nomination and become the next president. And I think we may be seeing that same kind of mentality, which is one that might turn out to be, no matter what Hillary Clinton does, people don't want the status quo. They want a change, and that's Trump. And as you said, Fred, the energy seems to all be on his side.
Well, let's remember, too, 2008, 2012, the Republican base was not happy with their candidate.
Right.
That's the bottom line, too. Trump has excited the base, the Republican base. He's excited them.
There's still some
hesitancy. Something new. And, you know, the endorsement from Senator Ted Cruz last Friday is going to help push more of that support. He has momentum. She has this problem of she's not likable. And then you have Benghazi on top of that. 90 minutes last night is not going to change your opinion on what Hillary Clinton did with Benghazi.
Well, she's viewed as dishonest by a majority, whatever poll you look at. They don't untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of baked into their decision.
It's hard to get people off of that. I mean, it's hard to change people's minds about something so visceral.
No, I think, Ed, you said it a few weeks ago. We talked about this. Her job, Hillary's job, I think, is to convince people that he's unstable.
Right.
He is unhinged, and he's not. She did it last night. She tried to say, hey, can you imagine this guy with the nuclear codes?
Right.
Basically is what she was saying. That's the only chance she's got now. Yeah. It's not anything she can do. It's to try to make him look like he's a nut job.
Too risky.
Too risky. And if he can deflect that and you know, people say, hey, he's not a nut job. He's a little flamboyant, but he's not a crazy guy.
Yeah.
Then advantage Trump on that. All right, we'll be back after the news. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.